Andrew, and hello Inga's Nation. You are listening to episode 4 of the CrossFit Inga's podcast. Today we are recording on Friday, March 16th, and it is week 4 of the Open.
That's right. So we are done with 18-3, and 18-4 was announced last night.
Yeah.
So should we go through the recap of 18-3?
No.
No? Oh, sorry. I forgot.
We have a game.
That's right. Okay. So, yeah, we got some feedback that some people have liked kind of the icebreaker sort of comedic aspect of some of the things that we've done. So Chris and Renee had the suggestion that we do two truths and a lie.
Yes.
So
I'm a terrible liar.
I am also. Okay. So this will be interesting to see if we can pick each other's out.
Cool.
So you go first.
I'll go first. Okay. I'm going to probably laugh my way through all of these.
That's fine. That way I won't know.
You won't know. I've practiced too, so. Okay. I always wear my socks inside out because I don't like the way the seams feel on my toes.
Okay, interesting.
When I make the bed, I tuck the corners perfectly each time, and the opening of the pillows need to be faced away from the door.
Really specific.
And as a kid, I'd eat cereal with warm juice because I do not like the taste of milk.
I feel like all three of those could be lies. Juice in your cereal. All right, so we have, let me recap. So we've got juice in the cereal, we've got the making the bed.
But it's warm juice, remember?
Yep, warm juice, even more gross. And what was the first one?
I always wear my socks inside out.
I'm going to say the first one is a lie because I feel like I would have noticed that.
Which one was the first one?
Because
I read them out of order.
The socks.
No.
That's true?
It's a truth.
So do I guess again?
Yeah, I guess so.
The cereal? That's
really?
Yeah.
No, it's true too.
Oh my gosh. All right.
I don't make the bed.
No?
Chris makes the bed.
Okay. I guess I can see that.
But yeah, I don't like the taste of milk, so I really did.
Man, this was terrible. I got two guesses wrong.
You don't know me.
No, not at all.
Okay.
So
that was fun.
My turn?
Yeah.
All right. So I did mine in chronological order.
All right. Of course you did.
Okay, right. Number one. As an eighth grader, I had a pet rat named Kurt, who was named after Kurt Cobain from the band Nirvana. Number two. In high school, I was pulled over for doing 130 kilometers an hour in a 30 kilometer per hour zone on a snowmobile. Number three. I used to love olives until one night in undergrad, I took a drunken dare to eat an entire jar of them.
Ooh. Oh. Okay, so you had a pet rat.
Pet rat named Kurt.
Named Kurt.
Yep. The
speeding on your snowmobile.
Uh-huh.
And then your drunken dare with olives.
Yeah. Which caused me to hate them.
I'm going to go with... The lie is number three.
That's right.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I've never liked olives.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
I do hate them, but I've never liked them. So that was the lie portion.
Good to know.
That's impressive.
I knew you were like in a rock band, right? You were a rocker.
I figured that one was kind of obvious.
So that's how we kind of put that together.
Yeah.
And you're from Canada. So you'd be driving
drive snowmobiles. Yeah.
Well, that was fun.
Okay, good.
No olives for you.
No, I hate olives. It's one of the one things that I don't like to eat.
Really? My brother is the same way.
Yeah?
Yeah. Doesn't like olives.
All right. We'll have to think of another fun thing to do before the next episode.
Yeah. Suggestions are welcome because that was cool.
All right. Okay, so 18.3 recap.
Yes.
You want to do, let's do the top three.
Top three.
Okay, guys first.
Top three guys. So all three guys are new to the top three.
Yep.
So we'll start with number three is our very own Andrew Perp.
That's me.
Who completed 567 reps. Then we have Jesse Cook coming in second with 575.
Yep.
And John Wirtz with the first place finish of 577.
Yep.
Impressive scores. Yep. Very impressive.
So, yeah, all three of us got to the overhead squats. I think all three... No, John didn't redo it. He did it once and got that score,
right,
which is really impressive. Both Jesse and I redid it. But my calves are still sore from the Lunders. Yes.
Well, you did how many? 600? No. 500.
500. Twice.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So the women, we had in third place, Allie, with 225 reps. She got 5 ring muscle ups. And then in second place was Kate. She got through the ring muscle ups, through the double unders, and got 15 dumbbell snatch. And then in first place, once again, Renee, 463 reps. You got through 11 bar muscle ups, one shy of finishing that round.
I gotta do it again.
Maybe next year.
That was my second attempt.
I'm seeing a trend in the top two spots here.
Yeah.
You and Kate.
Yeah.
But that third spot has been different every week.
Yeah. That's been fun to watch.
Yeah.
Between like Allie, and then last week we had in the third spot was
Sarah. And Ashley.
And Ashley Hay.
Yeah.
And then the week before that we had Stacy in there.
Yeah.
So.
So very cool. All right. So that was the top three. Let's do the standout performance.
So mine is going to Allie Willie this week. Getting those 5 ring muscle ups. She's put in a lot of time and discipline and hard work into getting those ring muscle ups. So she only got them just a few months ago.
Yep.
And this was the most she's ever done in a workout.
Yep.
And I'm really, really pumped for her.
Yep.
And we're going to get a little bit more into that later on in the episode.
Yeah,
kind of about practicing.
She really worked a lot again that first muscle up. It took her a while.
Yeah.
But she got it at the right time, and the 5 is probably the most she's done in the workout.
For
right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yep.
Good for her.
How about for you? Who's your standout?
So my standout performance is going to my sister, Sarah Perp, aka Woo! Sarah Hall. So she came in on Friday, did the workout, ended up getting 2 ring muscle ups. It was her first muscle ups also. So she had never done them before in a workout or otherwise.
Super exciting.
Yep. So Saturday, we get a text from her saying, and this is so my sister, right? So she says, I don't think my muscle up should count. I was, you know, jumping up with bent arms. I wasn't coming to full extension. So she basically no-repped herself like the
Such
day after.
Such a good person.
Yeah. So decided that they weren't legit. So she then came back on Monday, did the workout again, and got a legit muscle up. So she got her first true ring muscle up.
And I was judging her, and it could not have been more strict.
Yeah. Yeah. I think what happened, she probably could have gotten more, but I think she burned herself out getting that first strict one.
Yeah.
And then once she started kipping, she was landing much better in that position, but then
right.
she just couldn't press out.
Right.
So she's definitely got more in her, but she got the one, which was what was important.
Right. We also have a couple other people we want to shout out. Mary Leon, she got her very first ring muscle up.
Yep.
And she had gotten it while she was practicing.
Yeah. Well, she did.
Right.
She did the workout on Friday.
Didn't get any.
Or was it Friday? I think it was Friday. She did it on Friday, didn't get it. And then like almost immediately afterwards,
then
got
she
one.
Got it. Yeah.
So then she came back, I think Monday, right?
I think.
Monday.
Yes. Yep.
And then,
it was Monday
redid,
night.
Redid the workout and got.
Got it in the workout where it counted.
Yep.
Now for the scaled option for that workout, instead of doing muscle ups, you had to do pull ups. And you know, there's still quite a few people that can't do pull ups, and we saw a lot of first time pull up PRs. Pull upers.
Including Grace,
mm-hmm.
who got her first ones. Although she was definitely sandbagging because Grace comes in on Friday. She finished a round, which means she did 24 pull-ups in that first round, got into the second round, and then did an additional 10 pull-ups in the second round.
Been
so
holding out.
34 pull-ups in the workout.
Unbelievable.
When she said she's never done one before, so good
That's
for her.
That's pretty awesome, yeah.
And then who else do we have?
We had Ashley Hay.
Yep.
And Stephanie Carper both getting, did they both get 6?
I think Ashley did the workout RX'd,
mm-hmm.
and then afterwards she tried
to
do the pull-up and
that's
got
right.
it. So I think she only did one, but mm-hmm. it was her first one.
That's awesome.
And Stephanie got...
She got 6. 6 or 7.
Yeah.
Shoot, I can't remember.
I think I looked it up. I think it was 7.
7?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was during the open workout. So she was super, super pumped. Again, it was like one of those moments where I'm telling her the workout, she's telling me she can't do pull-ups,
yeah,
and gets super frustrated, and then in the workout she nails it. So yeah, she was really excited about that.
Yep. Just goes to show sometimes you gotta get into it, and
yeah,
you surprise yourself what you can do.
Let the open do its work.
Yep. Yep. All right, so 18.4 onward.
Yes. Benchmark.
Benchmark. First time they've done that in the open. I would have liked it to be a different benchmark.
No, you don't like this one?
No, I hate this one.
It has your favorite CrossFit movement.
My favorite movement, handstand push-ups. Refer back to the first episode of the podcast if you want to learn about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the handstand push-ups, so this is not going to be a great one for me, but that's okay.
It'll still be a fun 9 minutes.
It's going to be 9 minutes of 21 deadlifts, and then
give it all you got.
Try and get as many handstand push-ups as I can.
I want to backtrack a little bit. I am impressed with you, I got to say, from last week.
Okay.
Because I didn't know you could do ring muscle-ups, and then here you are just doing ring muscle-ups.
Yeah, I hadn't done them in a really long time.
Yeah.
Apparently that's the key, is just don't do them.
So then, when's the last time you tried a handstand push-up?
Well, the handstands or push-ups are a little bit different. The muscle-ups I know that I can do, I just, you know, hadn't done them in a while because mm-hmm. they had bothered my shoulder in the past, but they felt great in
last
week's workout, so I was super happy and kind of surprised at that. So
it was fun watching you hit that up.
Yeah, the handstand push-ups I don't think are going to go as smoothly.
We'll have to just see what happens.
All right, so should we go through some pointers for the workout?
Yes.
Okay. So I think the main thing with this one is just being smart about how you break up your reps. Break them up early and often. I think both for the handstand push-ups and the deadlifts.
Right.
Right? Because handstand push-ups are one of those things that once they go, they're gone. So if you go to failure, you're going to be in trouble.
So leaving a little bit more left in the tank as you're going through those deadlifts and not just, you know, banging it out two sets. I mean, break them up further than that. So when you get to those handstand push-ups, you're a little bit fresher, and then never, ever going to failure, always leaving at least two in the tank there. So that way, you know, quick shake out and then right back up on the wall.
Yep.
Chip away at it.
And even the deadlifts, like for most people, the sticking point is going to be the handstand push-ups.
Right.
But I don't think there's a lot of there's not a lot of value in going unbroken on the deadlifts.
Right.
Because you're just going to get back to the wall sooner. So I think you can still go through them, you know, at a relatively good pace. But it's probably smart just to break them up so you're kind of keep yourself a little more fresh when you get back to the wall. So like for the set of 21, you know, if you want to break them up into three sets, you mm-hmm. can do something like 8-7-6 that mm-hmm. gets you to 21. Maybe the set of 15, you break up into three again and do 5-5-5. The set of 9, maybe you do unbroken, or you do 5-4, something like that.
And breaking them up early like that, you may feel at that set of 9 that you've throttled back enough where you can do it unbroken.
Unbroken, yep. Because at that point, then you're done with the handstand push-ups and you've got the heavy-ass deadlift to deal with.
Yeah, 315 for you guys, right?
Yeah, yep.
205 for the ladies on that second set.
Yep, which last night, you know, Rob's pretty strong in the deadlift, and that looked heavy.
Yeah.
So be prepared for that if you make it to that heavier bar.
Right. So the standard is a little bit different with the measuring for the handstand push-up.
Yeah.
So definitely make sure you do practice it with that new standard, the new measuring. Mm-hmm. That way you do know what to expect.
Yeah, I like the new standard. I think it's less ambiguous than the way it was measured before.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what we found last night and what you've seen today is that there's not a lot of room for error.
Right.
So if you tend to be someone who sets up a little farther away from the wall, mm-hmm. or if your feet kind of spread apart as you kick up to the handstand push-up, there's not much room for error there.
Right.
So you just have to be really, really strict in terms of keeping your feet together, keeping your toes pulled down to make sure mm-hmm. that your heels get above that line every single time. Because especially in a workout like this, where it's a high number in a relatively short period of time, you don't want any wasted reps.
Right.
So I think that's going to be pretty important.
Yeah. A lot of what I've seen today, this morning, is as people were locking out their handstand push-ups, is that overextension, that overarch, and that just cost them those centimeters, those millimeters of getting those heels over. So really think about pulling that rib cage down, keeping your core nice and tight, and getting as tall as possible.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to make a huge difference.
Yeah. Anything that brings your feet down at all is going to make it really hard to get your heels over that line.
Right.
So cool.
Should be fun.
Yeah.
Week four, one more week to go.
One more week to go. Week five will be better for me personally. Handstand push-ups.
I'm excited about this one.
Should be. You're good at handstand push-ups.
I'm nervous about the standard.
Yeah.
So I will practice it ahead of time. But
you're gonna do it tonight?
No.
No.
I'm still sore. I'm still a little fatigued from redoing.
Oh really?
Last
from
week.
From
my
Monday?
Shoulders are a little tired.
Wow.
Yeah. All I'm gonna move around today.
Is it one and done this one or?
We'll see. We'll see.
See what happens.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ideally, I'll do it tomorrow, so that way if I have to redo it Monday.
Well, your soreness, I think, kind of leads into the next topic we wanted to discuss.
Yes.
Which is practice versus training versus competing.
Three different days.
So this concept is comes from Ben Bergeron. So he's got a great podcast on this topic in his Chasing Excellence podcast. Mm-hmm. If you haven't listened to it, I highly recommend it. Maybe we can put the link out somehow.
Yeah.
Not sure how to do that, but we'll figure it out.
We're getting there.
Yeah. We're still learning. But it talks about the differences between those three kind of training modalities.
Right.
So maybe the first thing we should do is just kind of discuss the kind of define what those three
each
are.
Each of them. So the first one being
First one being practice. So think of this as like very low loads, low heart rate, very focused work. So lower intensity than you typically see in a typical workout,
right.
And also high repetition.
Right.
So think like empty bar stuff, weights that are less than 50% of your max. Focusing on
like
skill work, like for gymnastics, like transitions and things like that. So that's kind of the practice aspect of it. And then, did you want to go through your example?
So Allie Willey, going back to her and her success with the ring muscle ups last week. I see her all the time. She comes in during the day while I'm coaching, and she's a really great example of this practice component. Working up to getting her ring muscle up, her bar muscle up. She spent the time, focusing on getting that strict, getting the strict movement down first, the strict pull-up.
Yeah, the strength.
Right, knowing she has that pulling strength to get her to sustain her on the rings or the bar. Then second, she would take drills for specifically those two movements, and she would drill them. It wouldn't be in a workout that she's doing these. It would be, just off to the side on her own time, and really just practicing, doing them over and over and over again, going through transitions, learning to dip, learning to strict dip, and it's really paid off for her.
Yeah.
And as we saw last week, being able to hit those five ring muscle ups.
Yep, she wouldn't have been able to do that without the work that she's put in.
Exactly.
And practice is, doing that type of work is very unsexy.
Right.
Right. You have to set aside the time outside of class for the most part. It's not as fun and enticing as coming in and crushing a workout and getting that endorphin high that you would normally get from the group class.
Right.
So it takes a lot of effort and dedication to put in the time to work on stuff like that.
Yeah. For sure.
So then training, this is typically what we would see for the most part, or what we should see for the most part in our group classes.
Mm-hmm.
So this is higher loads, higher heart rate, higher intensity, more of a kind of moderate focus. But the goal isn't necessarily to PR every single day or every single time. The goal is to get better for tomorrow. And I think there's a lot of misconception between training and competing. Most people probably think that they're training more often than they are when they're actually competing. So competing is essentially giving everything that you have to maximize your results on that specific, whatever it is, lift, attempt, work out, whatever, right? So, and the goal for that is the immediate result. It's not about being better tomorrow. It's about giving absolutely everything you have for that specific effort.
Right.
And so what I was saying before was that, you know, a lot of people probably think that they're training more often than they are when they're actually competing.
Right.
So if you're someone who comes in and looks at the whiteboard and you're, you know, trying to best a certain time on the whiteboard, or, you know, it's a benchmark workout and you're trying to beat your personal best.
That's competing.
That's competing, right? That's not training. Mm-hmm. I think a really good, so one way to kind of illustrate that through an example is, so take like the benchmark workout Helen, mm-hmm. which is running, kettlebell swings, and pull-ups. So if you're a good athlete, say you have a 12 minute Helen time, and you're fairly proficient at kipping pull-ups, mm-hmm. if you're competing at that workout, you're gonna go with what works. You're gonna do your kipping pull-ups, and you're gonna try and best your 12 minute time on that specific workout. You're gonna try and go unbroken on the kettlebell swings. You're gonna try and go unbroken on your kipping pull-ups to try and beat your time.
Go with what you know.
Yep, but if your goal is to be better tomorrow or improve your fitness in general, probably a better approach on that workout would be to try and incorporate butterfly pull-ups, because we know that butterfly pull-ups are much faster than mm-hmm. kipping pull-ups. So if you were to do that on that specific day, you're probably not going to beat your 12-minute time. You're probably going to be slower.
Right.
But the goal is not to beat your time today. It's to be better for tomorrow. So right. being able to incorporate bigger sets of butterfly pull-ups, which down the road will allow you to best that time by a lot more than you could just doing kipping pull-ups.
Right.
So that's kind of an example of how the kind of the difference between training and competing.
Yeah. And then, you know, going into that competing, especially during the Open, right? That's probably the day that you will be competing
right.
when it comes to these different training days or workout days, I should say, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So taking it in the context of the Open, your one, maybe two days of competing are the Open workouts.
Yeah.
Everything else within the week in the Open should be training or practice.
Right.
Because it's not going to do you any good to come in Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, beat yourself up, you know, bang your head against the wall, crushing yourself on workouts, try and recover in one day on Thursday, and then hit the Open workout right. on Friday.
That's when you should be competing.
Your one day of competing should be Friday.
Right.
If you're someone who does the Open workouts twice, then your days of competing are Friday and Monday.
Right.
The other days should be strictly training.
And I'm still recovering.
Exactly, right?
Because yeah.
these workouts, they beat you up more
yeah.
than normal workouts do.
Exactly.
And I've actually tried to take this approach with my own training mm-hmm. this year. And I think it's worked out pretty well. Like, I felt good going into all the Open workouts.
Right.
I really tried to kind of dial back the intensity a little bit on the other days. Like, I still come in and do the class workouts. I still
get
still
a sweat in.
High intensity. Like,
right.
I'm not... You know, I'm not sandbagging it,
right.
but I'm not going to that level that I know that I could if it was a normal training week.
Right. And like you're saying, that's paying off now. And just like Allie's practice days have mm-hmm. paid off leading up to the Open, where she's able to achieve some of those higher skill movements.
Yeah.
So.
And I think the other thing that's worth pointing out is when you're competing, that also comes with a higher risk.
Right.
Right. So I think this workout's a perfect example. The handstand push-ups, it's a much higher skill, higher risk movement because mm-hmm. you're coming down onto your head. There's a lot of, you know, pressure on your neck, you know, doing those kipping handstand push-ups. So if you're, you know, part of the general population and your ultimate goal is health and wellness and longevity, then, you know, being able to bang out kipping handstand push-ups probably shouldn't be super high on your priority list.
Right.
Right. So what the scale for handstand pushups is?
It's hand release pushups. Yep.
Perfect. Right.
Yeah.
Same sort of pressing movement, but it takes that risk factor out of the equation.
And that
for
looks
those
like
people.
A pretty spicy.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
They have to do bear crawls instead of the handstand walks. And
I'm sure that if I did the scaled version of this workout,
yeah.
I probably would get a better stimulus than
for sure.
If
yep.
I was to, you know, trying to do the handstand pushups.
Yeah.
Having said that, and so I kind of have taken that approach for handstand pushups personally,
mm-hmm.
like throughout my training, because I know that I'm not good at them. And, you know, trying to flip up and do the kipping handstand push-ups and doing them super slow is not going to be the most beneficial thing for me.
Right.
The, it's more beneficial to try and do like strict pike handstand push-ups on the box or GHD, or like dumbbell strict press to try and increase my overhead pressing strength.
Right.
Right. That's going to be the most beneficial long-term than trying to struggle through kipping handstand push-ups. But having said that, for this open workout,
you're gonna give it all you
I'm
got.
Give it everything I have and try and get as many kipping handstand push-ups as I can.
You're competing tonight.
Yeah, not tonight. Today is my competition day for handstand push-ups.
Cool.
Yeah,
I do think the masters division. They have to do the deadlift with push press.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, so there's lots of options, right?
Yeah, so even if you're not doing the open and you don't have handstand push-ups, I had a girl here in the noon class, Megan, and she's ready to have a baby, and she's not doing handstand push-ups, but...
Probably not, wouldn't be a smart idea.
No, yeah. But, you know, we modified it. We did sumo deadlifts, and she did the push press for her for her scale. So we have options.
Yep. Very cool.
She got a great workout in.
Yeah. Hey, and for most people, that's the ultimate goal, right?
Right. Exactly.
So that's good. Good stuff. I think this topic, again, I highly recommend listening to that podcast.
It's a good one.
It's a really good one. And I think we could probably come back and go into some more detail on this.
It could be an entire episode. Yeah.
Which
I know I've listened to it multiple times.
Yeah. As have I. Yeah. Cool. So I think that's it for today, right?
Yeah.
Should we close here?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
So thanks for listening, guys, and tune in next week for another episode of the CrossFit Ingas podcast.
Bye, everyone.